Amen. Please sit for a spiffing yarn.
Our first reading will be read for us by Dick.
The reading is from the book of Jonah, chapter 1. And in nautical terms, might be called spinning a yarn. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for the great wickedness had come up before me." But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and such a mighty storm came upon the sea that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. They threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. Jonah, meanwhile, had gone down into the hold of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. The captain came down and said to him, "What are you doing sound asleep? Get up and call on your God. Perhaps the God will spare us a thought so that we do not perish." The sailors said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots so that we may know on whose account this calamity has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said to him, "Tell us how this calamity has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" "I am Hebrew," he replied. "I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and dry land." And the men were even more afraid and said to him, "What is it that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them so. And they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea was growing more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great storm has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more stormy against them. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, O Lord, we pray, do not let us perish on account of this man's life. Do not make us guilty of innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done it as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord even more, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. But the Lord had provided a large fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory
to you, O Lord. The Holy Gospel is written in the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, beginning to read at the 22nd verse. It'll be found on page 841 of the Pew Bibles. One day Jesus got into a boat with his disciples. He said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they put out, and while they were sailing, he fell asleep. A windstorm swept down on the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and they were in danger. And they went to him and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he woke up and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. They ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were afraid and amazed, and said to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
O God, help us to listen to your word with understanding, to receive it with faith, and to respond to it with courage. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Please sit down. In the beginning, darkness covered the face of the deep. God said, "Let there be light." And then God separated the land and the waters, and called the dry land earth, and called the waters seas. And the mystery of the sea, with its tidal streams and its currents, and its relationship with the phases of the moon, its power, its unpredictability, has fascinated us ever since. There's a nice story about how Queen Victoria was crossing to Ireland on the royal yacht when the ship ran into some very rough weather. A huge wave made the ship lurch, and the Queen was almost knocked off her feet. She immediately sent a servant to the bridge. "Give the captain my compliments and tell him he's not to let that happen again." King Canute tried to control the tide. He failed. He became an image of futile pride and misdirected arrogance. Matthew Arnold, the poet, used the sea as an image of failing faith. The sea of faith was once too at the full, and round earth's shore lay like the folds of a bright girdle furled. But now I only hear its melancholy, long, withdrawing roar, retreating to the breath of the night wind down the vast edges drear and naked shingles of the world. John Basefield's probably best loved poem is, "I must go down to the sea again, to the lonely sea and the sky." And there are countless others, because the sea is an image of moods, a demonstration of amazing power, a place of beauty or a place of terror, a divider, a uniter, fearful or soothing. And the beginning of Jonah's adventure on this sea taps into all our hopes and fears. Jonah is one of God's reluctant heroes, a great comfort to all of us. He hears his call and he promptly sets off in the opposite direction. And of course, to the Old Testament mind, that is asking for trouble. There's a mighty storm, fears that the ship will break up. The sailors jettison the cargo, but that's not enough. Jonah is sleeping peacefully in the hold, but when they wake him and demand his help, Jonah knows that he is the problem. So he tells them to throw him overboard and the sea will calm. Jonah has had to learn a very important lesson. He wanted to go to Tarshish to get away from God, but the storm has proved to him that God is everywhere, that he made the sea and the dry land, and that his God, the God of heaven, is infinitely powerful. And interestingly, it takes the unbelieving sailors to convince him of this. It's amazing how sometimes our faith can be strengthened by the most unlikely people. So Jonah is chucked overboard, a bit reluctantly because the sailors don't really want to be responsible for his death. And instantly the sea becomes calm again, which demonstrates God's power to the hapless sailors. God hasn't finished with Jonah yet, so provides a very large fish to swallow him. And there he stays, in the belly of the fish, for 3 days and 3 nights, which of course has all sorts of resonances for Christians. A near-death experience, an experience of new birth. It's both of those, because Jonah comes to recognize his total dependence on God, that God is with him in the darkest and the most dreadful of times, and that he has to learn to trust and then willingly seek to do God's will. So, eventually, the fish coughs him up on the shore, and Jonah goes to Nineveh, which is what he should have done in the first place. It's a wonderful story, and as in all good stories, the factual accuracy matters far, far less than the truth it carries. What's important is that Jonah has realized and learned. And we're going to remember that far better in the framework of a fantastic story than we would in a rather cerebral account of Jonah's spiritual experience as he sat in an armchair. And the sea setting gives the story a context which we all recognize, a context of awesome power, forces right outside our control. And of course, our gospel reading does exactly the same thing. There's a huge storm which can blow up very suddenly on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus is sleeping peacefully in the boat, just as Jonah was. But there the similarity ends, because there's no question of the storm being Jesus' fault. But he seems to be their only hope. "Don't you care?" they say. "We're going to drown." No panic, no fuss. Jesus wakes up and rebukes the wind and says to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind dies down, and there's a flat calm. Notice that Jesus doesn't pray to his Father or ask God to still the storm. He speaks in his own right. He assumes his God-given power as Son of God. And the disciples are amazed. Ordinary human beings don't have that sort of power. So they're filled with awe and they ask, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Awesome power again, from the sea and from Jesus. We too are meant to be amazed and to recognize this as a powerful sign of Jesus' authority and identity in control of forces which we know we cannot control. Both our readings bring us face to face with the wonder of creation and with the power of the Creator, and remind us on this Sea Sunday to pray for those who daily face the power of the sea, who, as the psalmist said, go down to the sea in ships and ply their business in deep waters. They behold the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Which brings us to the other aspect of Sea Sunday, the work of the mission to seafarers, caring for sailors throughout the world. If you're as old as me, or even older, you will remember Ship Happiness. Do you remember Ship Happiness? I used to belong to a children's church in Sutton Coldfield, and we spent the whole year collecting ship halfpennies at home, hundreds and thousands of them, and we brought them to church on Sea Sunday. Then they had to be counted on a blanket on the vestry floor, put into piles of 24, which was 1 shilling, 5p, then bagged, 5 shillings a bag. It took all day. Then they were banked They were put back into circulation, and the missions to sea men, as it was in those pre-equality days, was helped in its remarkable work. Shiphapenies are long gone, worthless in today's coinage, when you'd need 48 for a 10p piece. But what's now the mission to seafarers works still in ports all round the world, providing a base, a chaplain and helpers, and a friendly welcome in the name of Christ to all who need it. And their work has developed as they have to support victims of piracy and hijack, those who've had devastating fires on their ships and lost everything, those who work on the oil rigs, those who have to deal with stowaways and refugees and economic migrants, as those desperate people are called. As well as being concerned with the problems of the environment and all the ways in which we spoil God's planet and its amazing seas. We need to pray for them and to support them. You'll find special envelopes in the pews. And at the same time, to give thanks for our delight in the sea, watching its changing moods, relaxing with the rhythm of the waves, swimming, sailing, paddling, enjoying being recreated by God's creation. And we need to remember, too, the message of Jonah. Nothing can separate us from God's love. And when God calls, he will, if we let him, give us the grace not to run away, but to respond. Amen.